Welcome to the third and final sermon in our sermon series entitled, Follow Me. Jesus calls us to follow Him. In this series, we will count the cost of following Jesus, entering a life of discipleship, and learning to disciple others. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2, and let's begin.
Good morning, Christ Church! How's everybody doing? If you don't know who I am, my name is Jovan. If you haven't had your coffee, that's all right, you got me. It's going to be a fun one today. I'm so excited to be here. This campus is like home, away from home. Your pastor, Katie, asked me to come up here and to deliver a message which I believe can stir up our hearts and help bring change in our lives today. But before I begin, let me give honor to where honor is due, and that's our pastor, Katie. Can we give Katie some love? Listen. Some of you may or may not know, about 5+ years ago, Katie came up to me and asked me to start serving when she was in student ministry, which now actively I am now doing right now. And so it was just an awesome thing for her to come up to me and invite me into that. And I felt the call to go into ministry as soon as she came up to me. Guys, it's an honor to have a pastor of that caliber to help be here with you guys. So you guys are extremely spoiled and extremely blessed to have a woman like her. Amen? All right, guys, today I'm excited. I get to finish up a series that we have been in for the last few weeks. We have been in a series called Follow Me. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about what it looks like and what it actually means and putting some clarity in what it looks like to follow Jesus. Because a lot of us can come up with a lot of different things, but we believe that the pages of Scripture helps us to bring clarity in this moment. We've been talking about what it looks like when we do it inwardly, but then also today I want to talk about what it looks like when we do it outwardly as well. And I'm just excited. I mean, I don't know if you can tell, I got all the energy in the world to present this message because I believe God has came here to help change your life, which He wants to do right here and right now. Only if you would lean in and listen to what I believe He wants to say to you. Amen? Let me say a quick prayer before I begin. Father, You are good and awesome. I'm glad that You are the light that lives within me, and I pray that I can live out that light daily and actively in my life, because without You, there is no me. Without You, there is no meaning in my life, and I need You to help give me a guide, help give me a path of what I need and what I need not to do. Father, I pray for the message today. I pray for Your people sitting in this room. I know there is somebody here today that needs to hear this specific message. I know that this message can stir up their hearts and help bring change. And I pray that a marriage is changed. I pray that people become sober. I pray that people would be, just their lives would be changed by what You want to speak in their lives today. Father, I'm thankful for all that You do. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen. Well, let me start off by asking this quick question. Have you ever, church, have you ever made a promise to yourself and then eventually failed at it? Amen. Have you ever made like a promise? And it can be anything. It could have been like a New Year's resolution. Maybe you wanted to read more, exercise regularly. Maybe you wanted to diet better. Whatever that it may be, what is that one thing that you promised yourself but then eventually failed at it? I remember there was this one area in my life, and don't judge me when I tell you this. There's this one area in my life where I struggle with a lot, and it's called road rage. I have horrible road rage. If you were in the car with me as I am driving, you would say to yourself, how is this man a pastor? How is this man goes to church? How is he a Christian? I have a problem with dumb drivers. That's just how it is. I hate dumb drivers. I hate when people pull out in front of me when I'm doing 50 miles per hour. I know it's a 35. Don't worry about that. Well, when I'm doing 50 miles per hour and you're going to pull out in front of me at the last minute, that grinds my gears. I hate traffic. Anybody in here hate traffic? Oh my gosh. I'm always in a rush. I hate people that go below the speed limit. Literally, I have a problem with road rage. I got a problem with just my attitude in general. So one day I said to myself, you know, I'm going to work on this. Javon, you got to get better at this. People are watching you. You're a Christian. So I decided to make the commitment and do the work, and I was doing all right for a while. I mean, I really was. Until one day, The same thing happened again, going down the same road that I take every time I go home. This person in a Chevy, of course it's a Chevy, this person in the Chevy pulls out in front of me and I slam on my brakes. Literally, it looked like a scene from Fast and Furious. Like my tires were screeching, there was smoke in the air, like I was trying to stop so I can avoid hitting her. And I pulled up to the person and I started saying nothing but holy words to them. I say, blessed be your name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. I did the opposite, church. I cussed him out. I was so upset. And what's real funny is like 2 weeks later, I found out they go to our church. It was real awkward. I was like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Anyway, what I'm trying to get at, and the point of the story is that I have a hard time following through. I have a hard time making a commitment. I have a hard time holding on to the things that I promised myself. I have a hard time being consistent in my life. And if I can be real honest with you, my biggest problem in my life is that I lack discipline. I lack discipline. Sometimes when I am absent in discipline, sometimes I get caught up in a certain place, in a certain space in my life. And most of the reason, maybe some of you guys are lacking in discipline, most of the reason why we aren't consistent is because we are constantly distracted. We live in a busy and a noisy world, and everything in this world grabs our attention. Our phones, our TVs, the feeds we read on social media, everything has and grabs our attention with our ears and our eyes and even our physical bodies. And I'm not here trying to blame Netflix. Believe me, I love binge watching Netflix. I'm not here trying to blame Instagram or anything like that, but the heart of this issue is us. It's our heart issues. It's going on with us. See, here's the thing. We are so consumed in the busyness of this world. We get so consumed, we are losing sense of who we are and why we are created and where we're supposed to be. Here's the thing that I've noticed. I'm very good at allowing the world to manage me. I am. I'm very good at allowing the world to tell me and to manage me in my life. And I've noticed that in the busyness that we see, in the craziness and the chaotic scenes that we see, and everything that pulls our attention, it's easy to lack faith. It's easy to lack faith. It's easy to be pulled away from God because of all the things that are pulling you away from God. Because of this thing called discipline. I heard this one pastor say, and I would be wrong not to share it with you guys. Heard this one pastor say, we would rather upgrade our phones than our souls. I love that, because at the heart of that, that's the problem with each and every one of us. And Jesus says in himself, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world, but yet forfeits his own soul? A lot of us would rather have the newest iPhone that's coming out. A lot of us would rather have the newest car, the 2019, the 2020, the models that they're starting to make. But we're missing what's lacking and what's going on inside of here. We'd rather upgrade in so many things but ourselves. We'd rather do that. And I noticed that that's a me issue. That's a Jovan issue. Because I've noticed that how we spend our days is typically how we will live our lives. We are constantly distracted, and it is hard to manage and position and to center our lives to build in deep intimacy with a great, perfect God who wants to love you, who wants to save you, who wants to carry you. But it's hard to do all of that when you got things going on around you. I can barely get through a book without looking at my phone. I can barely do anything when it comes to work without turning on my TV. And again, I'm not blaming the world. I'm not doing that. But this thing called decisions, and it's on me, and I'm the one making it. Little do we know that God wants us to progress in life. He wants us to live out our faith. He wants us to do great things. But it's up to us to value this thing called discipline. He wants us to value this thing called discipline, because here's the thing. Busy and distracted people can never fully live out their calling. Busy and distracted people can never fully live out their faith. Busy and distracted people can never be the best mom that they can be the best dad that they can be the best spouse that they can be. They can never get clean. Busy and distracted people will never fully live out what God has put in you and he's put in me. But it's up to us. Because here's the thing, a life that lacks discipline is a life that is wasted. And I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste what God has done for me and what God's going to do through me. And I don't want you to waste your life as well. A life without discipline is a life that is wasted. What I've noticed, for us to incorporate discipline, true discipline. Discipline means we're going to have to be different. Right? Because God doesn't call us to fit in. God calls us to be what? Different. God doesn't call us to be like the world, to have what the world gives, and we have what the world tells us to have. God calls you and I to be different. And sometimes to be disciplined, you got to be a little bit awkward. You got to be a little bit weird. You got to stand out a little bit, and you got to be okay with that. Because I'm not here to fit in. I'm here to be different. I'm here to be whole. The only way I can do that is by discipline in my life. God desires this for each and every one of us, but we have to value discipline. A lot of us are disciplined just in the wrong places, just in the wrong things. A lot of us have the opportunity, and we are all capable of being disciplined. We just pointed in the wrong direction. Imagine if the things that you discipline yourself, imagine the things that you put energy in right now, what if you put that in this direction so you can see progression in your life? Because I had to understand this, and even in my own life, when we discipline ourselves and when we make this a habit, we start to establish the right focus. Life is a matter of what you focus on. All of the energy and all of the anxiety and all of the stress that you and I invite in our lives is a matter of focus. And sometimes we have, for us to have the right focus, we have to have the right discipline. And that was something that this guy by the name of Paul wanted to communicate 2,000 years ago to this young man by the name of Timothy, to help this young man to understand focus, direction, momentum. But he has to start by building the right discipline. This guy, Timothy, that I'm talking about, that we find in the pages of Scripture, this guy, Timothy, was just like me. He was a young preacher. He was a young pastor. And he was pastoring this church. And there were a lot of things going on. This guy, Timothy, began to become weary, become discouraged, because people were losing faith. People were talking behind his back. People were walking away. And he wrote to this guy named Paul, who we know in the church as the Apostle Paul. He wrote to this guy named Paul and trying to tell them all the things that were going on with him. And Paul wrote this letter trying to get him to understand focus. But most of all, most importantly, discipline and living this out in his life. I'm picking up in the pages, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I'm reading all the way to 10. Anybody bring their Bible with them, like Bible with pages? Anybody bring their Bible? You all need to repent before Jesus is coming. All of you need to repent. No, I'm just joking. Look on that screen. I'm turning to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. And it reads like this. In pointing out these things to your brothers, meaning, you know, if you learn how to present these things, we'll talk about that in a little bit. In pointing out these things to your brother, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. That's the main goal. He says, Timothy, this guy Paul, he says, Timothy, I want you to focus on being a good servant of Christ Jesus, not being a good servant of drama. Not being a good servant of all the things that you invite in your life that bring nothing but chaos. He says, I want you to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. But in order for you to have that focus, you have to bring in the right discipline. And look what he says. He says it right here. He says, you have to be constantly nourished on the words of faith and a sound doctrine which you have been following. Verse 7 is where it really picks up. He says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. On the other hand, look what the next word says. Discipline yourself. He says, discipline yourself. Put your energy in the right places. Say no to this and put your energy towards this. But what does he say? He says, have nothing to do with that, but discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only a profit of little things, but godliness, being like God, is profitable of all things, since it holds promise of this present life and also the life to come. This is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance, for it is why we labor and we strive. Listen, because we have focused and fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially for all believers. He says, Timothy, the problem is that you have the wrong focus. But really, to have the right focus, you got to have the right discipline. And I've noticed that I have to be incorporated even in my own life. When my focus is off, it's probably because my disciplines are off. Right? When my focus is off, it's probably because my discipline is off as well. And he says, hey, buddy, I need you to put your discipline in the right places. Put your energy in your eyes, in your focus. Don't get distracted, but put it in this so you can live out this. What does he say? He says it right here. He says in verse 6, he says, we should discipline our lives by living out truth. Now, this is so important. This has become a theme in my life in the year 2019. I am so tired of listening to lies. I need to start following truth. I'm so tired of listening to opinions. I need to start being grounded in truth. Because so many of us make lies, make opinions, make the world a reality, and we are still absent in truth. But before we can live out truth, we got to know where truth actually comes from. But here's the thing I want you to know. Truth doesn't come from what you see on TV. Truth doesn't come from what you read on the news. Truth doesn't come from on your Facebook feed. Truth doesn't come from what a celebrity tells you. Here's the thing. We are a world full of information, but still lacking in truth. We are a world full of information, but still lacking in truth. A lot of us are living our lives based off how we feel, based off what people say, what's trendy, what's popular. But I want you to know, none of that has security. None of that breeds identity. All that brings chaos. I want to live according to truth, and so I can separate lies in my life, which is half the reason why we are facing the epidemic of suicide today, is that people are following, people are founding their life off lies. They're listening to the lies and they're absent in truth. And here's the thing, all truth is God's truth. All truth, that's what I want you to know. What I read on TV, what the White House tells me, what politics try to say, I don't care who you are, this is the end result. This is the foundation of living. This brings truth. This gives me life. This is the reason why I exist. It is not what somebody says. It is not what Trump says. It is not what the world, what my circumstances say. It's what God has already said in here. Because all truth is God's truth. And I want this to get the last result in my life. Not my circumstances, not the addiction, not the pain, not what they say, not the loss. I want this to have the results and the last word in my life. I need to be living a life founded on truth. Not founded on feelings. Because here's the thing, I've said it before here. Your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. I want to be founded off truth in what this says. That's what we have to normally have to consistently do in our lives, living out truth. Because according to what God says, God's word corrects me. Because sometimes I hold the wrong standards. And sometimes God's word corrects me. Through his love and through his grace, he teaches me. Because a lot of us have a great education. A lot of us have great things that we do. But a lot of us are lacking in wisdom. And right here, the fullness of wisdom is put and planted in here. I don't need more information. I need more wisdom in my life. And it equips us for every good work, because that's why you were created. You were created for good works. That's what this gives us, and we need to be founding our lives off what this says. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, Timothy, I don't want you just to discipline yourself on truth. I want you to discipline your life by removing what hinders you. Now, when you read this in verse 7, when he says, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. Back in Timothy day, there was a lot of speculation. People were just saying things out of the blue. People were spreading lies about other people. People were starting to believe in those lies. And it started to spread from one sect to another sect. And next you know, it became a whole chaos and big speculation. Sounds a lot like our world today. And people say the Bible's not relevant. No, you're boring. The same thing what he's trying to encourage and tell this young man, Timothy, is you need to learn how to remove some things in your life. The problem is sometimes I don't know what those things are. I don't know what I need to remove half the time so I can see progress in my life. Because before I can invite the right practice, I have to be aware of the wrongful things. Because sometimes to be disciplined, you're going to have self-control. And that's one thing that I am absent at right now. I lack self-control. Sometimes I don't know how to say no. Sometimes I don't know how to walk away. Sometimes I don't know how to release. And he says, you got to make this a habit in your life. You got to make this a momentum thing in your life. Because to greatly improve, you have to know what to remove. To greatly improve in your life, you have to know what you have to remove from your life. Life's not about getting. It's about, man, what do I need to let go of? Is it something in the past? Is it something that gets me excited for the moment but gives death in the future? What is it? I've noticed for me, the one thing I need to let go of, and maybe some of you can agree with me, maybe some of you can compare to me, the one thing I need to remove in my life is people. Because here's the thing, people suck. Listen, sometimes I can get around negative people and their negativity feeds on me. I'm having a happy day, but because of their trash life, they're spoiling it on me. And next you know, I'm negative. And next you know, I'm doing the same things that they do. I'm surrounding myself around opinionated people. I surround myself around people who want to do nothing but manipulate me and take advantage of me. And sometimes I got to know how to remove a circle, even if that means I got to be alone. Because sometimes being alone means being whole. And I'd rather be whole than be around others that bring nothing but chaos in my life. In order for me to get to where I need to be, I need to know who I need to surround myself around today. Let me ask you a question. What do you need to remove in your life so you can be who you were called to be? Who is that you need to do right here, right now, today? But then he doesn't stop there. No, Paul has given us nothing but ingredients to be disciplined. He says, remove what hinders you. And then he goes on and he says, now discipline your life. Verse 8, discipline your life on godliness over worthless things. He says we need to adopt our and pattern our lives after Christ, after God. We need to be growing in patience. We need to be growing in humility, growing in forgiveness, growing in the pages of Scripture and what it tells us. Because here's the thing, I don't want to be more like Jovan. I want to be more like God. Because the world doesn't need another Jovan. My wife doesn't need Jovan. She needs a godly man. Because my marriage won't succeed. My leadership won't succeed. My career will crumble. My friendships will dissolve if I never make this real in my life. He says, son, I need you to adopt godliness in your life. Being more like what he calls us to be. And doing this daily in your life. A majority of our issues, I said this before, is that we are just disciplined in the wrong things. We're disciplined in things that don't give value. For instance, like the NBA Finals is going on, and I can tell you every player's name. Not only can I do that, I can tell you their stats. I can tell you what college they went to. I can probably tell you their mother's name. I can tell you so much about it. But isn't it interesting? I can tell you so much about somebody else, but be lost in who I am. What sense does that make? I can tell you so much about somebody else, but very rarely give you information on what's going on with me in my life. Because to the world, it's impressive. But to God, it's said, that's not that important. Because as a world, we celebrate the wrong things. We celebrate how many followers you have. We celebrate how much money you make. We celebrate your status. And sometimes as a world, we celebrate the wrong things. And I want to be more like God, not more like others' opinions, not more like my losses, not more like my frustrations, not more like what my boss did or what my boss says, but who God is and what he says. Because godliness is valued and profitable in all things, being more like him. The last thing he says, I want you to discipline your life and continue to have hope in the Lord. He says it in verse 10, for it is why we labor and we strive, because we have fixed, we have focused, we are determined to put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. In Timothy's day, there were a lot of people that were putting their hope in money, in knowledge, in success, in rank, in status, in followers, in this, and that. Sounds a lot like 2019 today. And then what happened was that people were starting to believe that those things get life, and those things give security, and those things give identity. But the truth in the matter is, those things will fail you. And he tells them, listen, you're going to struggle in this life, Timothy, but that's why your hope is not on things that are empty. Your hope is in the things in God. And there's a coach that there's coaches in the NBA right now. His name is Monty Williams. 2 years ago, Monty Williams lost his wife into a horrific car accident. And because of Monty Williams and his status and because of who he is, it was something that was very public. But what I love about the reason why I'm sharing this with you, and the reason why I want you to know what I love about what he does, is he went to his wife's funeral and he preached a sermon. I don't know what I would do. I would be crying my eyes out. But what I love about him was he said what the verse says is right here. He says, my life isn't over because of an event. My losses don't tell my story. My losses don't tell my story, because my losses are just a scene. Because my hope is not in what I lost. My hope is in the one who can give me what I lost. And I love that he said that. And that's the same thing that I want to continue in my life today. Because I want to put my hope in places, in the God who gives and who loves. But let's not miss the context of this whole thing. We got to learn how to be a little bit more disciplined in our lives. We got to learn how to establish this more and more. We have to be consistent. Because here's the thing, your marriage is at risk. Your relationships are at risk. Your health is at risk. Because we are all capable of being disciplined, but it's about putting it in the right places. It's about putting it in the right moments, in the right things, so you can be everything that God created you to be. Because again, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life on what was worthless, and because of the distractions, because of the weight of the world, and being so worried and being so invested in what the world's, what's going on in the world. I want to invest my life in being disciplined. But then Paul also tells Timothy, this is something you have to learn to encourage other people to do too. Who in your life you think would need a little bit more discipline? Who in your life? See, it's not just us to establish it, but it's also us to deposit it. It's not just us to establish discipline in our lives. We have to learn how to point it in other people's lives, which means parents, you're going to have to teach your kids how to be disciplined. Listen, wives, listen, ask my wife. She has to teach me how to be disciplined every day. We got to invest this. This is what the world is missing. Because so many of us are disciplined in things that have no value. But we need to now start doing things and being disciplined in things that have value and that give value. Let me say a quick prayer. Dear God, I'm thankful for today's message. I'm thankful that it reminds me that I'm missing out. And the reason why I'm stressed, and the reason why I'm lost, and the reason why I'm tossed back and forth is because I lack discipline. I don't have discipline. And I put my discipline and I put my energy and I put my time in the wrong places. But when I put it in you, I fully live out what you have put in me. And God, I pray for the same thing for my brothers and my sisters sitting in this room today. There is somebody who needs to understand the value of disciplining themselves so they can be a good servant of you. God, I pray that this message would just encourage somebody to trust in you, to give their hope to you, to love you, and to strive to be more like you. Would you please help us right now? I'm praying for this message would just resonate our hearts and stir us up so we can be greater and better. In Christ's name is who we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.